We're at the very end of Shmuel Bey's Perek Chof Aleph. We were listing the giants that have been killed by David and his men, the children of Orpah, Yelidei HaRapha, or the descendants of Orpah. The first giant was David fought against Yishbi Benov, and David became weary, and Avishai ben Tsruya helped him out, and they killed that giant. In Divrei Hayomim, it lists three giants who were killed. And it leaves out this first one, because it's not in praise of David, that David wasn't able to do it on his own. He needed help. So in Divrei Hayomim, it's not mentioned. Divrei Hayomim focuses on the greatness of the monarchy of David HaMelech, Malchus Beis David, and anything that's not complimentary is omitted in Divrei Hayomim, in Chronicles. The second giant, we learned, afterwards there was still the Milchama in Gov. It says, HaMilchama, the war. And it could be the Plishtim, these giants, saw that once David got weary, and he wasn't at his full strength anymore, they again carried on with the battle, and Sivchei HaChushosi struck Saf. And he killed the next giant. The third giant, in Pasuk Yudtes, Vatihod HaMilchama, the battle, continued in the same place in Gov, with the Plishtim. Vatihod HaMilchama, the Gov in Plishtim. Vayach Elchanan ben Yarei Orgim. Elchanan, the son of Yarei Orgim, Beis Halachmi, from Beis Lechem, he struck Es Goliath Hagiti. Goliath, the famous giant Goliath. The Eitz Chaniso, and the wooden shaft of his spear was Kiminor Orgim, was as big as the heavy beams that are used in the weaving process, that have the warped thread wrapped around them. These tremendous beams was what he used for his spear, was the handle, the wooden shaft of the spear. We know Goliath was killed by David. Rashi explains that Elchanan here means David. And it's referred to as Elchanan, as Kael Chanan. Hashem showed him favor. Then Yarei Orgim, Yar, the forest, is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. There are psukim that it's called Yar. Yar HaLevanon, the forest of Lebanon, sometimes refers to the temple. And Orgim, they used to weave in his family, they wove the paroches to be used for the Mikdash. So it's a reference to David HaMelech. Kubiyat doesn't mention him by name because his men had swore in Pasuk Yud Zion that he shouldn't go out to battle. Now David didn't necessarily have to follow what his men wanted because they swore that he wouldn't go to battle. He's not bound by their word. But since they were determined that David HaMelech shouldn't risk his life, V'lo sechabes ner Yisrael, the light of Klal Yisrael shouldn't chas v'shalom be extinguished. Since they had sworn to him, we don't want to mention clearly that he did go to fight. Another pshat is that this Elchanan ben Yarei Orgim was indeed somebody else. It wasn't David, it was one of David's men. And he struck the giant Beis HaLachmi, who's referred to in Divrei Hayomim as Lachmi. In Divrei Hayomim, it calls the name of this giant Lachmi. And he happened to be a brother of Goliath. He was with Goliath Hagiti, meaning he was a brother. He was like him. Some learn he took on the name. His brother Goliath had been killed, so this brother Lachmi took the name. And Elchanan ben Yarei Orgim killed him. Vatziod Milchama, here it doesn't say Ha Milchama, because they already saw that David's men were fighting for him, or David was able to be victorious. And this was in a different location. This was in Gaz. But Tzion Milchama v'Gaz, there was another battle in Gaz. But he Ishmodon, there was a man of tremendous measurements. V'etzbos Yodov, v'etzbos Raglov, Shesh v'Shesh. All of the digits of his hands and his feet were six. He had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. Eshim v'arba mispar, with a total of 24 on each one of these hands and feet had the six fingers and toes. He was also born to the giant. The Gemara incidentally learns out certain halachos in terms of what's considered to be a defect, what's considered to be a mum. For instance, if a Kohen would have six fingers, could he do the Avodah? The Gemara discusses certain halachas, what we can learn from the fact he had so many fingers and toes. But by Charef Es Yisrael, he blasphemed and he spoke against Klal Yisrael by Akeu Yehonasan ben Shima, Achi David, David's nephew, Yehonasan, the son of Shima, killed that giant, the last one of those four. Esarbas, Eila Yuldul HaRafa Begas, these four were born to the Rafa and Gas, Vayiplu V'yadavid V'yadavodav, and they fell in the hands of David and his servants. Perichov Beis. Vayadaber David Lashem, David spoke to Hashem as Divri Ashira, as those the words of this Shira that we're now going to learn. Biyom Hitzil Hashem Oso, on the day that Hashem saved him, Mikav Kol Oyevov, from the hand of all of his enemies, from the palm, from the clutches of his enemies, Mikav Shol, and from the palm, the hand of Shol. Shol is mentioned separately, because David had many people who were chased after him and gave him a hard time during his life. But Shol gets a special mention. First of all, he was in the greatest danger, and that was his main opponent. There were people like Doeg and Achitofel and people that went against him, but they relied on Shaul, or they tried to support Avshalom rebelling against him. But the main opponent was Shaul, and Shaul is mentioned separately. Also, Shaul doesn't deserve to be mentioned together with the other enemies, because Shaul was, after all, the tremendous tzaddik. This may be the last time that we discuss Shaul in Sefer Shmuel. But the Gemara says, in Moed Katan, on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, David said the Shira. And as we mentioned, some of Forshim learned, he didn't want to mention Shaul together with the other enemies, because Shaul, David knew, was special. But even with David's precaution, the Gemara says as follows. In Tehillim Perek Zion, there's a kapitel that says as follows. Shigoyon leDavid, which could be understood as David acknowledged he made a shogeg. He made a mistake. Unwillful, but it was a mistake. Shigoyon leDavid, asher shor laHashem, that he sang to Hashem, al divrei Kush ben Yamini. About Kush ben Yamini. Ben Yamini could mean he's from Binyamin, from the tribe of Binyamin. And we look through and we don't see any songs about any Kushi. There was nobody who was a black person or whatever that David sang a song about. You don't find any mention of a Kush ben Yamini. And yet he seems to make a reference to Shigoyon. David made a mistake about singing a certain Shira, a certain song. The Gemara realizes it's talking about his song about Shaul. V'chish Kush Shmo, fellow Shaul Shmo. His name was Shaul, it wasn't Kush. Elama Kushi Mishuna Ba'oro. Just like a Kushi, his skin is different. Avshol Mishuna B'maisov. So too Shaul is different in his actions. Our Shaul was totally different than what you would expect the average person. He was way above the crowd. His maisim were different. In fact, the Marshal points out, the skin of the Kushi is unique, because obviously he's born with it, and he can't change it. It's him. It's intrinsically part of him. That's the color of his skin. It's not like somebody who splashed paint on his body. Shaul's Meissen was so unique, it was part of him. It wasn't like a person like us, a Beinoni, an average person. Sometimes you do good, sometimes you do bad. Even your mitzvahs, you have a moment of inspiration, sometimes you do them at its optimum state. But here it was part of him. It was like his skin. He was the Kushi, and his maisim were as different as the skin of a Kushi. Kayotze b'davar al ta'omer, like we have by Moshe Rabbeinu, his wife Tzipora was the Isha Kushis asher lokoch, the Isha Kushis that he married. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Tzipora, was also Tzipora was Meshuna b'maiseha, her actions were superior in a very noticeable way than everyone else. So David was held to blame. That even though he might have mentioned Shaul separate from David, and he sang a Shira, but it's difficult to sing a Shira when you're being pursued by the one who was the Gadol Hadar. Shaul was the Gadol Hadar, and then David's the Gadol Hadar. But you're dealing, to have an enemy like Shaul, it requires an extreme caution how you thank Hashem for saving, and yet taking proper acknowledgement of how great Shaul is. And again, this is something that David could be held to blame for, certainly not us. Somebody like David, who was careful that his life was constantly in danger. There were moments that he was just a hair's breadth away from death. Shaul threw the spear at him. And yet he could have killed Shaul and he did nothing, and he was always careful with the honor of Shaul. And this is years after, according to Rashi, according to the Radak, other Mephoshim, this was at the end of his life, when he was saved from all his enemies. This is decades after Shaul was Nifter. And yet there's some type of Shigoyon the David, some type of mistake, unknowingly, that David praised over his being saved from Shaul. The Gemara makes the point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, David, Shira Ata Omer, you're saying a song on Mapaloso Shel Shaul, about the downfall of Shaul. And again, David really stressed that he was saved, but somehow it's stressing like David was saved at the expense of Shaul. Il Mole Ata Shaul, if you would have been Shaul, Vahu David, and he would have been David, meaning everyone's born with a certain mazel and with a certain plan and with a certain purpose and what he has to accomplish in his life. And we already know that Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda, Malchus has to come from Yehuda. And it had to come from David. And Klal Yisrael, some of Forshim we discussed, learned, Klal Yisrael asked for a king at the wrong time. When they had a leader like Shemuel, they asked for a king, and that was wrong. So Hashem didn't want to give them David. Since the request was no good, he gave them somebody else, Shaul. And it was known that Shaul would not be able to have the melucha forever and ever. So he was sort of starting off with a strike against him. So Hashem said to David, if you would have been Shaul and he would have been David, ibadati kama David miponov. I would have destroyed many Davids before him. In other words, the fact that you're David and he's Shaul, it happens to be Shaul lost the kingdom and you got it. But in terms of a person, it's hard to know. If you would have been Shaul with his mazel and he would have been you, it would have been, Shaul would have been a tremendous, would have been more successful. He sang this song, Mikaf Kol Oyevov, Mikaf Shaul, when he was saved from the hand of his enemies and the hand of Shaul. The Abar Avinel has a number of questions. First of all, there are many mizmoirim, many songs in Tehillim that apply to Sefer Shmuel. And we didn't have any of them. Occasionally in the Shiurim we mention what applied from Tehillim. But in Sefer Shmuel there's not a single perek of Tehillim quoted here. This is the only Shira, and we'll see afterwards it has Divrei David Hoachronim, some last words from David. But this is the only one that's basically paralleled in Tehillim. In Tehillim Perek Yud Ches, you have the same concepts that we're going to learn here in Shmuel Perek Chaf Beis. In fact, in benching, when we say Migdol Yeshuas Malko, Magdol Yeshuas Malko, it's based on the different readings in Tehillim and in Shmuel. But they're very similar. There's a Mizmor, the Perek Gimel, Mizmor LeDavid, V'vorcho Mibnei Avshalom B'no, a Mizmor that David said when he fled from his son. And it's put in Tehillim that if somebody's on the, being pursued by the enemies, he could say that perek in Tehillim. And if the enemies are after his life, you could say Tehillim, perek nun dalet, when the Zifim came and they told Shaul where David was. They were ready to turn in David and he'd be killed. if somebody did an aveira and he wants to do tshuva, he can say Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph. Mizmor Bavoy Lov Nosan Hanavi, after the incident with Bathsheba, Nosan came to David and he gave him Musar, and we see exactly how David davened to Hashem. And if the enemy slander him, that's Tehillim Perek Nun Beis, Bavo Doeg Ha'adomi, that Doeg came and he gave a report about David. If a person wants to curse his enemies are just causing him so much suffering. And he wants to, so instead of taking action himself, he's prepared to give it over to Hashem. Hashem runs the world and Hashem will do whatever his enemies deserve. That's Perakuf Tes. Elokai Tilosi Al Techerash. And if somebody wants Hatzlocha and learning, that he should be able to understand Torah, Perakuf Yutes, a long Perak, where every one of the letters in the Aleph Beis has 8 psukim, is what David davened, and what David wrote in Tehillim for us to daven for Hatzlocha in Torah. If somebody's sick, you have Tehillim Perek Mem Aleph, Ashrei Maskil El Dol. Fortunate is the one who understands what the poor, here meaning the sick person, is going through. There are many experiences David had in his life, and he wrote about it in Tehillim. And it's in Tehillim because it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, and it wasn't just David on a personal level, it was Klal Yisrael. And whatever difficulties we go through, whatever simchas we have, whatever experiences life might treat us to, we can find an expression for it in Tehillim. Out of everything, though, this Shira is the only one placed into Shmuel. There are many differences. In fact, the Abarbanel lists 74 differences. We might touch on a few of them. But 74 differences between what it's written here and in Tehillim. But the basic song is the same. Why is only this one chosen? Also, certain phrases are written in the future, like B'nai, Am lo yadati yavduni, a nation I don't know should serve me. Now, it could be poetically certain things are written in the future tense. But the Abarbanel understands that this Shira was something that accompanied David through his life. It wasn't a one-time experience that he said at one point, and then he felt that that's meaningful to Klal Yisrael. And with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration, he put it into Tehillim. This was more than that. This was actually a song that David sang, B'yom Hitzal Shemos, on the day he was saved. Every single time his life was in danger from his enemies, or from Sheol, and he was saved, this was his song, again and again, through every misfortune. And therefore, since this was the constant song of his life, it's placed into Shmuel, into Sefer Shmuel. Mikaf kol oivov, mikaf Sheol, in Tehillim it says, miyad Sheol. Somehow to be in the kaf, in the palm, is like in the clutches. It sort of conjures up an image, like the wicked person is grabbing his innocent victim, and he's got him in the clutches, he's got him in the kaf. In Tehillim, for Klal Yisrael to say it over, it's worded, Mikaf kol oivov, from the clutches of his enemies, umiyad Sheol, from the hand of Sheol. It's a nicer way. And a lot of the differences are to clarify the meaning, or to give an experience that fits in better for what every individual through the centuries might be going through. But this is the song the way David himself sang it as he went through life. Vayomar, and he said, Hashem, sali umitsudosi, umafaltili. Hashem is sali, my rock, umitsudosi, in my fortress, umafaltili, and he's the one who provides me the escape. He's my rescuer. In order to escape from the enemy, you need a few things. A fortress is a mighty, mighty fortress that the enemy can't attack. If it's situated on a cliff, on a sali, on a rock, obviously it's a lot harder for your enemy to reach there. Hashem is the rock, and he's the fortress on it. And he's the mafalti, the one that allows me to escape and to get there. Here it says in Shmuel, Mafalti li. David HaMelech felt this very personally. He's Mafalti, my rescuer, li, and it's to me. In Tehillim, the word li is omitted. A person going through life, you're saved. You probably won't feel the experience as closely as David HaMelech, who David HaMelech constantly lives with such a close awareness of Hashem. David felt it, the Sali, my rock, umetsudasi, and my fortress, umafalti, and my rescuer, li. It's like repeated for emphasis. To me, he really was fully, fully aware of that hashkocha. In Tehillim, we are aware of the fact that Hashem is Sali, umetsudasi, umafalti, but the word li is omitted. Elokei Tsuri, my God, Tsuri, my rock, Echsebo, the one that I take shelter in. Mogini, he's my shield, Vekeren Yishi, and the horn of my salvation. Now, Barbanel explains that there are two ways. First, these two psukim are like an introduction. Hashem Salium Tsudasi, and this pasuk Elokei Tsuri Echsebo. First, it's saying how Hashem protects David. But there's a mushal and there's the nimshal. The parable, the example is to imagine a rock, a fortress, a rescuer. Now, how does Hashem do that? There are two ways. Sometimes a person has a fortress that he has a secure home base, and then he can run out and attack the enemy, guerrilla warfare, and run back and lock the door. Then he's safe. And then another day when he sees the opportunity arise, again, he goes out, he attacks the enemy, and he always comes running back. He's using the fortress as a way of attacking, and he needs a safe place to return to. While other times a person goes through difficulties in life where you don't feel you're on the offensive. It's simply hiding out that he shouldn't be killed. And David had both of those experiences. Hashem was selling Tzedasi Mafalti Li, and there were two ways this was in his life. Sometimes it was Elokei Tsuri. Hashem was his rock, Echsebo, where he could find shelter. But it was a shelter that he used to attack the enemy. With his bitachon, his trust in Hashem, he could fight the battles of Israel. Mogini, it's like a man going out to battle carrying a shield, the Karen Yishi, and the horns of salvation. A horn is how an animal attacks, that what he fights with. So he has his weapons to fight, and he has the shield for protection. And David HaMelech acknowledges that the real protection is Hashem. Hashem is his shield. And Hashem is the Karen, his horn, his power. Miskavi. And there are times when Hashem is simply his stronghold, Umenusi, and a refuge, a place where David could flee to. Manos is where you run to. Moshi'i, the one who my Savior, the one who would save me, Mechamas Toshieni, that Hashem would save him from violence. When David was on the defensive, and there were those against David, Hashem is the one who would save him, Mechamas, from the violence. The Shir is understood. It's written. This is written as a part of Sefer Nevi'im, as prophets, and Tehillim. It's written with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration. And every phrase, there are many, many ways the Meforshim learn, understand it. One way of understanding is mentioned, Mechomas Toshieni. Chomas, for example, is if somebody takes something by force. He pays for it, he's not stealing. But if you all go to somebody and you say, oh, I would like to buy your bicycle for $100. And he says, it's not for sale. So you tell him, it's worth $100. And the person admits, yeah, it's worth $100. I just bought it yesterday. They say, it could be it's even worth less. But it's not for sale. So this would-be customer slams down the $100 or $200 and he takes the bike. If the seller doesn't want to sell it, that's called chamas. You're taking it by force. Somebody of the stature of David HaMelech would always have to be afraid if he ever bought something, how do you know it was really for sale? Unless you see a for sale sign. But if ever he would go to somebody and ask for a favor, do you mind selling me your donkey? And the person would say yes, maybe the person really feels compelled to sell it. He doesn't want to. And there would be an element of chomos that could accompany David whenever he tried to strike a deal. You know, I've asked you, if you're willing to sell it, you might feel you have to. David says, even though he was the king, and he was the mighty David, and he was the one that people wouldn't want to turn down, he could count on Hashem to help him out with his carefulness, that mechomos toshieni, that he should be saved from being guilty of chomos. And if he's guilty, and if he's innocent of that, and if he's as careful as he is from sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him in the other ways. Magini v'keren yishi, miskabi. Mahulo ekra Hashem. Now he's going to explain how Hashem saves him. As Hashem is like this fortress, but now how does Hashem save him? And first, David HaMelech talks about how Hashem saves him through the power of tefillah, with davening. And we already know it's a tremendous chesed, a kindness that the Anshei Knesset HaGadola did for us. That when you come to shul in the morning, you have your siddur, you know the order of davening, you know what to say, the kavanos and the thoughts that go into the davening, every phrase and the order of it and the gematrias of it, the numerical values and the meanings in davening were composed by the greatest Chachamim, including Nevi'im, by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and it's all there in davening. But before that, before the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which was the beginning of the Second Temple, a person would have to go and have to daven himself. And there'd be two types of davening. Sometimes the person will see, a few psukim later, the person's caught in a predicament, and it's an emergency, and he just has to yell out, Hashem, save me! But sometimes it's not an emergency, and a person is able to compose his thoughts and daven. And David HaMelech says, Mehulo, with praises, like a Hallel, Mehulo, with praises, Ekra Hashem, I call out to Hashem. Before I call Hashem and I ask for this, and I ask for the other favor, and all the different things that I need to make my life more comfortable, before I call out to Hashem, Mehulo, the first step is, to show that you realize who you're talking to. Truth is, Hashem knows what you need, but Hashem, it's necessary for us to daven and to realize our dependence on Hashem, and as we realize that, then Hashem is able to shower us with the bounty and all the blessings. But Mehulo, the first step is Mehulo. We have to praise Hashem and realize how great Hashem is and who we are and how lucky and fortunate we are to be able to daven. And then, Ekra Hashem, then you can call out to Hashem. Umei o yivai ivosheya, and I'm saved from my enemies. As I daven, under the normal circumstances, I daven properly, and then I don't have to worry with my enemies, everything is calm and peaceful. The Abarbanel points out, in Tehillim it says, umin o yivai. It doesn't say mei oivai, it says min oivai. Because the word mei oivai is what David HaMelech would sing through his life. This was the song that he sang. Mei oivai, I'm saved from my enemies. But if he were to write that in Tehillim, somebody looking at it would say, you know, sometimes the letter mem means like greater than. Like Baruch mi bonim osher. Yaakov said, from all of his sons, in this certain way, Usher is blessed more than the other sons. Baruch mi bonim, he's blessed more than the sons, Usher, the son Usher. Or Tevorach minoshim Yoel, Eshes Chever Akeni. There was a woman, Yoel, who was more blessed than the other imohos, than our great imohos, the matriarchs. But Tevorach minoshim can mean blessed more than the women. Somebody might think, they might think David HaMelech is saying, Umei oivai, more than my enemies, Hashem saves everyone. But even more than my enemies, He saves me. And that's wrong. Hashem doesn't save David's enemies. It's Mei oivai means from my enemies. So in Tehillim, it's written more clearly, Umin oivai. That's the way that Barbano learns. And as I say, he goes through each one of these 74 differences, why sometimes it's written to be more poetic in Tehillim, or sometimes it's to be clearer, or to have a greater connotation for Klal Yisrael as a whole. Afafuni chevle moves. The pains of death surround me. Afafuni is like pona, to turn, or like ofan, a wheel. I'm surrounded with the pains of death. Nachle v'liyal yivasuni. The torrents of wicked men would frighten me. It's like, you'd see all the wicked men. Thinking that, I can imagine somebody who went through the terrible experience of the Shoah, the Holocaust. You can imagine sitting in the house and you hear all those SS men, whatever, they're walking outside. The Nachle v'liyal, the torrents, the soldiers and soldiers, those wicked people. Yivasuni, frighten me. So I'm in this terrible, frightening situation. It could also be understood as if he's comparing as Mishbrei Mavis, meaning like a boat that's foundering at sea and ready to sink. And you have the tremendous, mighty waves smashing against the ship. The Mishbrei, like the waves that smash against the shore, the wave is called Mishbrei. So Mishbrei Mavis, those waves that cause death are surrounding me. He's bobbing around in this boat in the middle of the ocean and is getting hit from all sides, ready to sink. He's frightened by the stream, the wicked stream, the torrents of Rishoyim, of wicked people. Chevle Sha'ol Sabuni. The pains of the grave surround me. He feels like he's standing right in the cemetery, ready to jump in, ready to fall in. He's right there by the grave. Kimuni Moshe Moves, the snares of death that are ready to catch him, confront me. Or Kimuni could even mean they came before me. He feels like he's already died. He's just ready to be buried. Or he feels his situation is so critical that there's almost no chance of living. Chazal learned that this pasuk is a reference to the four exiles, the Dalit Golios that Klal Yisrael went through. Afafuni Mishbrei Moves, starting from Bavel, the first destruction of the temple. I was surrounded with the Mishbrei Moves, the pains of death. And that's referring to Bavel, because Bavel caused sort of a death to us by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The second and the third goal is then Bava was taken over by Modai, by media. In fact, the Beis HaMikdash was built during that time, and we were still in Golos. But it's not called death. That's the next phrase. Nachle v'liyal yivasuni. The wicked people frightened me. And the third one was Yavon, the Greeks. That was Chevle Shol Sabuni. The pains of death, of the grave surround me. The pains of the grave. And Kimuni Moshe Moves, the snares of death confront me. Again, he used that word death because that's referring to Edom, the Roman Empire, who again destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. But Tsarli Ekra Hashem, in my distress, in my distress, I called out to Hashem. And Hashem is the Midas Rachamim. He's calling out to Hashem as Hashem who has mercy and compassion. Over here, he can't start out as the Mehulal. This is sort of when he's all of a sudden in a situation where he feels like he's about to die. So he goes straight to the davening. There's no time. His life is about to end. And he calls out in that tsar. He's Ekra Hashem. Ve'el Elokaya Ekra. And I call out to my God. And the word Elokai, Elokim, is the one, is referring to Hashem as the Yecholus, the Baal HaYecholus, the one who has the ability to do everything. So he refers to Hashem as having Rachmanus, having mercy, and Hashem who is Kol Yechol and is able to do everything. Ve'el Elokai Yekro. Vayishma Mehecholo Koli. And Hashem, even though Hashem Vashemayim Hechin Kiso, it's like Hashem is established in the heavens, and Dovid HaMelech is crying out from far away down here on earth. But Vayishma Meichol Okoli, from his Heichol, from his dwelling place, Hashem hears my voice, Vishavosi, and my cry comes Ba'oznav in his ears. In Tehillim, it doesn't say in his ears. It says, V'shavosi lefonov. My cry comes before him. Tavor v'oznov. It's as if it comes in his ears. But the average person saying Tehillim wouldn't feel that experience that he's, like David HaMelech could say, I felt as if my tefillah goes straight. Kaviyachol, of course, Hashem has no physical parts or anything like that, but it's written in a way for us to understand. But we wouldn't have that feeling as if the tefillah goes straight, kaviyachol, that is, straight to Hashem, like that. But b'shavasi lefonav, we say in Tehillim, our prayers come right before Hashem, as if it would be in his ears. David HaMelech used a stronger term, as if shavasi is directly ba'ozneh. This is, again, a reference to those four exiles. But sarli ekra Hashem, I call out to Hashem when I went through Golus Bavel. Ve'el Elokai ekra, and I called out to my Elohim when I went through the Golus of Madai, the Median Empire, the Persian Empire that took over for Bavel. And there's no reference to a heichal, to a temple, to a dwelling place, because Bavel destroyed it, and it was being built. It was built during the times of the second exile, Madai, but they didn't have it the whole time. But in Golus Yavon, the third one, under the Greeks, that whole time we had the second temple. From his heichal, he heard my voice. And the last Golus, the one Golus Edom, the Roman Empire, is v'shavosi ba'oznov. My cry goes to the ears, kaviyachol, of Hashem. Again, it refers to what the nation went through and what David as a person went through. But sadly, some say David said this at the time that he went to steal the spear in the water from Shaul, to show that Shaul's life was in his hands, that he could have done much worse. And he went, to take that spear in the water. And as he was walking there, Avner, the general, Avner ben Ner, was on the ground, and somehow the way he turned, his feet caught David. David was trapped between the legs of Avner. And he had to get out of there without stirring Avner, without waking him up. But sadly, he was in this tight situation, and he called out to Hashem. And Chazal say, a tzira, like a hornet, came at that moment and stung Avner. His feet were, whatever it describes him in tremendous terms, that, you know, these are two tremendous, tremendous legs. I guess he was stung, and it didn't wake him up, but it stirred him that he moved his legs, and David was released, and he was able to get out. But again, every phrase here is what David went through, living through life, but it's written in a way that it applies to Klal Yisrael and applies to all of us as we go through life. Vayiskoash vatirash ha'aretz. Now, David is going to mention seven types of punishments that Hashem brings on the Rishonim. Sometimes vayiskoash, the earth, vayiskoash vatirash ha'aretz, the earth quaked, it shook, vatirash, and it roared. There was a tremendous noise, and the earth is moving. Sounds like an earthquake. Mostos Hashemayim Yirgozu, the foundations of the heavens shook. The whole universe, the whole area just seems to be in turmoil. Vayiskoashu, and they quaked, they shook. Kicharolo, because as if Hashem has a wrath, has an anger. There's a burning anger, and somehow that's causing this tumult, this commotion. And it seems to be not just an earthquake, but Ola Oshon Ba'apo. This kaviyochol, as if when a person is angry and you see smoke coming out of his nostrils. It's described the experience looking at the earth in this situation. David HaMelech is in danger. He davens to Hashem. And all of a sudden Hashem causes an earthquake, a commotion, but it's more than that. It's like Ola Oshem Ba'apo, the smoke coming out, kaviyochol. Of course, these things are just written for us to understand the concept. But it's as if there'd be smoke coming out of his nostrils. Ve'esh mipiv tochel. And there's a fire coming out, kaviyochol, from the mouth of Hashem, and it's burning up. The Malbim seems to describe it as a volcano. The earth is shaking. There's also that noise and the rumbling from deep under. And all of a sudden you see the fire and the smoke and the soot all come out of the crater. And they go up miles into the sky and they cover the whole area. Yecholim baru mimenu. There are flaming coals that are blazing forth from Hashem. Hashem sometimes brings about such a change. The Abravanel describes there are four yesodos, four foundations on which the earth is created with. You have the earth, the land, that's the ofar. You have yesod ha'esh, the fire, which will just, you have ruach, the wind, and you have mayim, water. Those are the four yesodos, and they're all referred to over here. First of all, the punishment that came through fire. This, like, Ola Oshem Ba'apo, the smoke coming out, the fire. Hashem uses the fire to punish the Rishonim. He also points out, Vayiskoashu, the earth quaking is like Korach, the experience of Korach. He was swallowed out, the earth opened up and swallowed up Korach. Sometimes Hashem punishes the Rishonim with fire. Like by Sodom, it was overturned and it was like burned up with sulfur, gofris, famelach, shreifa, kol arza, like Sodom and Amorah. It was like burnt up. Vayet shamayim vayerad. And then when there's such a commotion and such an upheaval down here on land, vayet shamayim vayerad, the foundations of the heavens and everything that orbits around the earth, sometimes the upheaval is so great, it affects the orbit and the way things are in Shemayim. Vayet Shemayim Vayerad. Hashem bends down the heavens and comes down. Varofel Tachas Raglov. And there are a thick darkness, Kaviyochol, as if beneath Hashem's feet. Kaviyochol. The Malbim learns that sometimes when tefillah, a person is normally answered b'derech hateva. A person davens, and Hashem grants his request in a normal manner. We'll see later on how David HaMelech was sometimes saved miraculously. But at this point he's talking about how it worked through davening. And we all know very often a person, one thing is corrected, and then there's a side effect, and something else goes wrong. Over here, the way the Malbim explains, sometimes there's an earthquake, there's a volcano, there's an upheaval. And therefore, David HaMelech's enemies, who a minute before were ready to kill him, were ready to throw him into the grave, now they go running for their life. David is saved from his enemies. The enemies are finished. But now there's a volcano. He's got to worry about the rivers of lava coming down. He's in danger from this very situation. From this earthquake, from the volcano, David's in danger. And at that point, again he davens. This is like a reframe according to the Malbim. But Sarli Ekra Hashem is in every difficulty, he calls out to Hashem, and he cries out to Hashem. So he calls out, and he davens. So what Hashem does is, Vayet Shamayim, Vayerad. Hashem lowers the heavens. And what he does is, he's going to bring about that there's going to be rain and there's going to be wind. Wind is going to come and bring the rain, and he's going to quiet down this volcano and the earthquake. It's going to rain and settle things down. Vayet Shamayim Vayerad. So Hashem lowered the heavens, and Hashem came down. Barofel tachas raglav, there's a thick darkness beneath his feet. Vayirkav al kruv vayov. He rides on the kruv, on the cherub, on the kruvim, on that type of angel with a child's face. He rides on the kruv vayov, and he flies vayera al kanfei ruach, and he appears on the wings of the wind. The Me'am Lois brings up Shad, it's like when he comes to save Klal Yisrael. A mushal that sometimes a king once had a son, and the son was captured, and the enemy was taking away the son. And some of the loyal servants started bringing the chariot and hitching up the horses and getting everything ready so that the king could follow in hot pursuit. So the king said, forget the chariot! He hopped on a horse and he started galloping. There's no time to hitch up 4 or 6 or whatever horses to the chariot to go racing. He's got to get his, every moment counts. As if Kava Yochel, Hashem has the Merkava, has the heavenly chariot, whatever that means, with all the angels. But when it comes to saving Klal Yisrael, sometimes Hashem says there's no time for the Merkava. It's as if Kava Yochel, Hashem is so, is available at the moment to help us. Vayir Kaval Kruv, as if he'll ride on this angel. Kava Yochel, again, it's just an idea of giving us the idea of how Hashem is moment ready at a moment to help us. He'll go riding on the wings of the wind. Or come flying to our rescue. Vayoshes choshech sivivosov. Now, Hashem is going to start bringing the clouds. But there is a tremendous heat in the atmosphere. The volcanic ash went up to the sky with all the sulfur and the burning coals, and there's a tremendous heat. And then the clouds of rain are brought. Now that's a recipe for thunder and lightning. The heat together with the clouds that are being quickly brought, al kanfei ruach, like on the wing, like being delivered on wings. The race, the wind is blowing these clouds, vayoshes choshech svivosov sukos. Hashem made the darkness into shelters all around him. It's like all around in Shemayim where Hashem, the heavenly presence, dwells. It's all dark and there's clouds gathering from all over. Chashras Mayim. The water is bonding together into these clouds. Or others learn it means the darkness of clouds. As it says in Tehillim, Cheshchas Mayim. The water is making these dark clouds. Ovei Shchokim, the clouds of heaven. Minoga Negdo. And so at this moment, Minoga Negdo, there is the light. First of all, it can mean that even though there's darkness, but in front of Hashem himself, Kaviyachol, it's always light. Minoga Negdo, there's the brightness, the brilliance before Hashem. At Boaru Gachleyesh, there's these burning coals. So with the burning coals, and the clouds, the dark clouds of water, Yare Min Shamayim. There's a tremendous thunder, a thunder from the heavens, Hashem. Hashem brings about this tremendous thunder, Ve'elyon Yitzen Kolo, and Hashem is giving his voice, Kav Yochel, from Shamayim. So David HaMelech might have been saved from the volcano and the earthquake. And now he's being saved from that through bringing about these clouds and calming the atmosphere. But before that happens, there's tremendous thunder and lightning, we'll see. So Vayishlach Chitzim Vayefitzim, Hashem sent forth his arrows Vayefitzim and he scattered the clouds. Barak, he sent the lightning Vayohum and he terrified the enemies. The enemies were destroyed and he terrified Vayohum, he sent the cloud scattering. Or as he caused the terrain, you had all the atmospheric conditions with the clouds and the heat, and then there was lightning and thunder, and that caused the clouds to release their water, and the clouds, it was no longer the fearful thunder and lightning. But now there's floods. Vayiro afike yom, the depths of the sea became visible. Yigolumostos table, the foundations of the earth, were laid bare. The world was originally covered with water, till Hashem said, "You hear that? You say Roeh Ayavosha, that the land should be visible." But originally, it was all water. Begaras Hashem, by the rebuke of Hashem, Inishmas Ruach Apo, by the blowing from the breath of His nostril, all of a sudden, Kaviyachol again, as if Hashem is—it's all covered with water. So now David's in danger of drowning. Others learn, again, this is a different punishment that Hashem brings against the Rishoyim. Sometimes Hashem brings a punishment that there's a lack of water. Yigolu Mostes Tevel, the depths, the deep waters, the Afike Yom, the dark, the Dafike Yom. The depths of the sea become visible because everything's drying up. Sometimes there's a drought, and they don't have what to eat. They don't have any water. So sometimes there can be punishments of many different types. But when there's this flood, Yishlach Mimorom Yikocheni. Hashem sends from Shemayim Yikocheni, and He takes me. Yamsheni, it's as if He draws me out Mimayim Rabim from the many waters. Yatzileni, Hashem saves me Mi'oivi Oz. Because the enemies see David HaMelech like drowning in this water, and they're waiting, I'm sure, that he won't be able to come across and be safe. He won't be able to come on to dry land. Hashem saves him from these enemies, from his mighty enemies. Misonai, from my enemies, ki umtsu mimeni, when they overpower me. Yekadmuni biyom edi, they confront me on my day of misfortune. On the day that certain times when a person's mazel is at a low. And on that day, David HaMelech's enemies were ready to get him. As soon as he slipped, as soon as things seemed to be going wrong. Vayi Hashem Mishonli, and Hashem was a support to me. Vayotze Lamerchov Osi, he brought me out into the broad space. Yechaltzeni, he released me ki chofetzbi, because Hashem desired me. Yivmaleini Hashem kitzid kosi. Now David HaMelech starts another idea. Till now he discussed different punishments that are brought on the enemy. Now David HaMelech is going to go into a different type of way that Hashem saves him. Sometimes David HaMelech was saved even without davening. That David was a tzaddik, and he did such great maisim toivim, such mitzvos, that Hashem saved him in miraculous ways. So before this, David HaMelech starts mentioning how he was careful in the Torah and the mitzvahs, and then we'll see how Hashem saved him as a result. Yigmaleini Hashem kitzid kosi. Hashem should pay me back. Or He did pay me back. Kitzid kosi, according to my righteousness. Sometimes in a song, the future tense is used to mean the past tense. But Yigmaleini Hashem, Hashem would pay me back kitzid kosi, like my righteousness. Kivor Yodai, like the cleanliness of my hands, Yoshivli, Hashem would repay me. The Me'am Lois makes a point from here that it's proper for a Rebbe to tell his Talmidim, or a father to tell his children. Of course, it has to be done in the right way. It's proper for them to tell them what you've done right. A person should go home and tell his kids. You got to do it not in a boastful way, but sometimes a person has done certain accomplishments and certain things, and his children should be aware. It's an example. One of the Meforshim once, one of the Gedolim once says, "Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, what's hidden is to Hashem. Vaniglos, what's revealed, lonu l'vaneinu ad olam, is for us and our children forever." And he interpreted the pasuk as if to say, "Hanistaros, what's hidden, l'Hashem Elokeinu, that's for Hashem. If you did a mitzvah, nobody knows about it." So on one hand, there's a tremendous advantage because you did the mitzvah, and it's certainly not to take any pride from anybody else. Nobody knows about it. A person should do mitzvahs like that also. But the nistaros is for Hashem. V'haniglos, if people are aware of it, what's revealed, lanu v'aneinu ad olam, can be for us and for our children. It's something that the children can learn from, or Talmidim can learn from, if they see the greatness. Suddenly you hear a story about a tzaddik, or a gadol, and you're inspired. Or even a simple person has moments of greatness. Everybody has their moments of greatness. A tzaddik and a gadol have a much greater percentage of their life is like that. But every individual has something that he does special. And he should pass that on, that they can learn from it. Yigmaleini Hashem kitzid kosi. Of course, here David's shira is basically between him and Hashem. But the Me'am Lois makes this point that a person should share with those that would learn from it what he's done. Yigmaleini Hashem kitzid kosi. Hashem should pay me back like my stuck of my righteousness. Kivor yodai yoshivli. Like the cleanliness of my hands, Hashem should return to me. tzidkasi is usually the actions that a person does. And when a person does an action that's good, normally you're paid back. Kivor yodai, the cleanliness of your hand, is usually you stay away from stealing from something that's not yours. Your hands are clean of any wrongdoing. That's the way it's used. And usually over there you would use the expression of yigmol, to pay back, because a gemul is not just paying back for the action. Gemul means to pay back for the person's feelings and the emotions and the thought. Gemul is more with the meaning that goes behind what a person did. But David HaMelech said, Yigmaleini Hashem Titzikasi. When I did my action, it wasn't just the actions. It was the thoughts and everything, the way he did his mitzvos. That Yigmaleini Hashem, Hashem will give him a gemul, will give him the reward. And the gemul Titzikasi, even with my actions. Because the actions were accompanied by such great forethought. Kivor yoda yoshivli, and when his hands were clean and he refrained from an aveira, it wasn't just he didn't do the aveira, so he really doesn't get reward for that, but at least give him a reward for his thought. But it was a battle. David HaMelech fought against his Yetzirah, and every refraining from an aveira was like doing a mitzvah, so he should get paid for an active action. Yoshivli, repay me for the cleanliness of my hands. Ki shamarti darchei Hashem, because I've kept the ways of Hashem, v'lo rashati mielokoi, and I wasn't wicked from before Hashem. Even if I made certain mistakes, it was a shogeg, it was unwittingly. It wasn't an act of rishus, of wickedness. Ki chol mishpotav l'negdi, all of Hashem's mishpotim, the judgments, are before me. A mishpat is very often part of a person. It's understandable. Everyone knows about it. Keep it over aim. Honoring a parent is a mishpat. And a lot of times a person does it without even thinking of it as a mitzvah. But David says the mishpatim are lenegdi, like opposite me. It's not part of me. I always think of it as doing a mitzvah. I do every action, even the mishpatim, I'm doing l'shem shemayim for Hashem. V'chukosav. And those decrees that we don't understand, the chukim, lo osur mimena. But those chukim are actually part of me. In other words, my whole life is so much in Avodas Hashem. What's not understandable becomes actually part of me. And what is understandable, I don't do by nature, but I do as a careful service of Hashem. And I became complete with Hashem. I'm perfectly innocent. And by perfecting myself, I'm able to be on guard for my sin. Vayoshev Hashem li kitzikosi, Hashem paid me back according to my righteousness. Kivori, according to my purity, leneged einov, before his eyes, Hashem knows the way I am, and Hashem has paid me back, and we'll see afterwards how miraculously Hashem saved David.